Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you ever heard that? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The problem is, it's a lie. It is simply not true. I know we parents have used it for our children time and time again when somebody said something about them at school and we wanted to teach them that, don't pay attention to what they say, it's okay. But the truth is, that little saying is not true. Let me rephrase it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will break my heart. I want to talk today about what the Bible says about words. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to use just two verses here, and then we're going to go look at the book of James. But Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. I used these two verses Wednesday night in my Wednesday night study, and I told that group, if I were like some people that believe the Bible is inspired in spots and not inspired in other spots, you know, I believe that just part of it is God's Word and part of it's not, then this is the part that I would say this is not God's Word. But I don't like this one. I would just cut this one out. Who was it? Thomas Jefferson that they put? Was it Thomas Jefferson that left out all the verses? He put together a Bible that things that he thought was true and that he liked and left out the ones that he didn't like. Well, I can't do that because I believe it's all inspired. But if I were going to do that, I'd leave these two verses out. Okay? Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Who's speaking? Somebody tell me. Jesus. Jesus says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If you believe the Bible as I do, that'll scare you to death. That Jesus said, I'm going to have to give an account for every careless word that I've ever spoken. He's going to hold me responsible for those times I lost my temper and said things that was really ridiculous. For the times that I said something that I knew that I shouldn't say. I mean, sometimes I'll say things and know immediately that I shouldn't have said that. I mean, right now, just like I wish I could just grab it and bring them back. You know, put them back in there because I don't want them to be there floating, because once they get out there, they're out there. And Jesus said, you're going to give an account for every careless word. Turn over to the book of James. James is a very practical book. Basically, the idea of James is that if you have faith, then that faith works. That faith makes a difference in your life. Romans emphasizes having faith, and Galatians emphasizes having faith. James just says, okay, you've got that kind of faith, it's going to make a difference in the way you live. If you've got that kind of faith, it's going to make a difference in the way you live. Look first at James 1:19. James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be, tell me, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear and slow to speak. Someone has said the reason God gave you two years and one mouth is because you need to listen twice as much as you talk. You need to listen twice as much as you talk. Most of us don't. In fact, most of us, when we're in a conversation with someone and they're talking, you know what we're doing? We're thinking about what we're going to say whenever they stop. We're not really listening to what they say. We're just figuring out how I'm going to respond to the first part of what they said. James says you need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. You need to think before you talk. Now, there are a lot of people whose mouth is already running and they have not got their mind in gear yet. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Look down at verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and the word religion is not used in the Bible very often. So what I want you to do just for this verse and just for this period of time, I want you to paraphrase the word religion to Christianity. If anyone thinks he is a Christian and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's Christianity is worthless. Just in case you're not reading your Bible, let me read the verse to you as it really says. If anyone thinks he is to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. You need to bridle your tongue. I don't know how many times people have told me, well, if I think it, I might as well say it. If I think it, I might as well say it. No, if you think things like that, you probably need to repent. Don't make it twice as bad by saying it. You need to bridle your tongue. That means I need to control what I say. And I want to tell you, as a preacher, there are many times I get in all kinds of trouble by what I say because I talk for a living. And the more you talk, the bigger the odds are you're going to mess up at some point. And sometimes I say things that sound okay to me when I say them, but when they get to you, somehow they meant something entirely different. You heard something entirely different than what I said. And that's just the difficulty of communication. I'm kind of working on a series of sermons in the back of my mind about how to get along with each other in church. And one of the first ideas, I don't know what that sermon series will ever develop or not, but it's just beginning to hatch here, just beginning to start. But because we're all sinners and we're all in the church together, and even after we become Christians, we still have a sin nature, right? And therefore, we get in all kinds of difficulties and trouble because I'm not, once I become a Christian, I'm not 100% there yet. I still make mistakes. I still say things I shouldn't say and all that. But what James says, if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion ain't worth much. You need to control the things you say. You don't need to say everything you think. You don't need to say everything you want to say. You need to control it. Then look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is another one of those verses. Probably if I were not a preacher, I wouldn't cut out. But as a preacher, you're always looking for teachers and leaders. Always. No matter how big your church is or how small it is, there are always more jobs to do than you can got people to do them. Always. You know, I get a church paper from a big church, 18,000, 17,000 people on the weekend. And they have ads in the church paper for workers to work in the church. I mean, just like a newspaper, they got ads for you to go to work in the church. But listen to this verse, chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers. Normally, I would be saying, more of you should become teachers. We need teachers. More of you should become teachers. James says, let not many of you become teachers. Why not? knowing that one will will incur a stricter judgment. Because I am a teacher in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm going to face a stricter judgment because I teach. Isn't that scary? I mean, that'd just wipe out a VBS program, wouldn't it? Just that one verse saying, not many of you become teachers because as teachers, you will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. You agree with that? We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. If he can control his tongue, he can control it all. But most of us, nearly all of us, we stumble in many ways. But we stumble in what we say, probably more than any other one area. Now he's going to give some illustrations. Now you need to realize that every illustration, every human illustration or materialistic illustration has some limitations. In other words, you can't push it all away and say every little aspect of the whole thing is true. But he says in verse 3, now if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct the entire body as well. If I am riding a trained horse and I put a bit in his mouth, wherever the mouth goes, what happens to the rest of the horse? That's where he goes. Now, if he's not trained, he may not do that. But for a trained horse, wherever the bit in his mouth guides where he goes. What is James trying to illustrate? If you can control the mouth, you can control the whole person. If you control the mouth, you control the whole person. If you can control your mouth, you're in control of your whole body. Gives another illustration. Said, look at the ships. Though they are great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder at the inclination of the pilot, whatever he desires. The whole ship, the direction that it's going is determined by the little rudder on the bottom and the back. Small part of the thing. Doesn't take up very much percentage of the whole ship, but it controls where it's going. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great the forest is set aflame by such a small fire? So he uses the illustration of a horse, control his mouth, you control the whole horse. Use the illustration of a ship, the rudder on the back of the ship controls which way it goes. Then he says the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it does what? It boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? So he uses another illustration. If I go out into the forest on a dry day and strike a match, a little bitty flame, and light it, what can happen to the whole forest? Just with that little bitty match. Now you tell me, what is he comparing that little bitty match to? Our tongue. Because once we get those words out there, they won't come back. Depending on whether I agree with their politicians or disagree with them, but some of them I really feel sorry for because they go all everywhere making speeches and they record the speeches. And people spend hours looking back at what they said and compared to what they're saying now. Look, 5 years ago he said this, now he's saying this. What would happen if they just recorded your conversation and your family for 5 years and said, I'm going to compare what he said today with what he said 5 years ago? Now again, if I like the politician, I don't want him to do that. If I don't like him, I said, look at that, what he did. He's flip-flopping, you know. He's saying one thing one day and one the next. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, he says. The very world of iniquity. the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue is powerful. The tongue is powerful. It has tremendous power. Every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. I don't even own an animal, no cat, no dog, or nothing. But I used to train dogs, obedience trained dogs, before I went to Bible college, before 1972. No need to ask me how to do it. It's been too long. But anyway, I used to do that. And so I'm always amazed to see animals that's being trained. We went to Pigeon Forge, and one of the shows we went to, there was a woman that had about 6 dogs trained. She could make them all work at the same time. I was just absolutely flabbergasted by that. Just set in awe to watch the train, how they trained an animal to do those things. And the Bible says have all kind of animals been trained. And it just fascinates me that people can do that. We can take a wild animal and train that animal to do what we want it to do. And I want to tell you from experience, it's a lot of fun to do that. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I had German Shepherds, and if you got a real small dog and it misbehaves, you can just pick it up and put it in your lap and hold it. You don't do that with a German Shepherd. My German Shepherd weighed 90 pounds. And so, I used to not only train dogs, I used to teach other people how to train dogs. And I was getting in trouble by what I said back in those days, because people would come to my class when I'd teach them how to train animals, how to train their dogs. And the first thing I'd say was, now you need to realize that dogs are animals, they're not humans. And almost everybody in the place would get mad at me. They'd all put human qualities to them all the time. So they're not humans, they're animals. And dogs are pack animals. That means that there's always a leader. And if you let him, he's going to be the leader. They are pack animals, and they're always trying to get leadership. And so you need to show them that you, in this pack, between me and you, I'm the leader. Not you, me. And once you convince him of that, then you can train him. Every species of beast, bird, reptiles, creatures of the seas, tamed have been tamed animals, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The Bible says it's full of deadly poison. Words can destroy you. Words also can make you. They can change your life for the better. Words has the potential of tremendous power. No one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Same mouth. From the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send forth at the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? No, can salt water produce fresh water? And yet the same mouth that comes here and praises God will go out this afternoon and curse someone made in God's image. We need to be careful of our tongues. We need to realize the potential power that it has. You know, most of the time we don't use this terminology, but when our teenagers are growing up and they get to the age that they get their driving license. I got my driving license at 15. Already owned a car before I got my driving license. But anyway, I got my license at 15. And when our kids grow up to drive a car, what we really try to teach them is this car is a powerful, powerful instrument. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. Now, very seldom do we use those words, but that's really what we're trying to teach them. Man, as a teenager, and those of you who are teenagers now never think, Lee never been a teenager. I was a teenager one time, believe it or not. I was a young person one time. But man, when I got my driving license, my whole world changed. My whole world. I mean, everything changed. It was a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. I could go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do. And I could try to find the girls to go with me, you know. And somebody didn't have to take me and carry me and all that kind of stuff. Because I had my, so there was tremendous potential for good. At the same time, there was tremendous potential for bad. Because I can use that same car, that same power, to kill myself or to kill somebody else or to maim somebody else. Can I? It's the same car. So when we trying to teach our young people as they reach that age to get the driver's license, man, this is a great opportunity for you to do a lot of things that you want to do. But it also has a tremendous potential to destroy you. And you need to realize that. You need to respect its power. You can use it. You can use it for good. And it'll change what your life, your whole life, what it's been before. Or you can use it for bad and destroy. You can destroy your life. You can destroy the lives of friends. Your tongue is exactly the same way. You can use it for good to bless people. I mean, you can make a world of difference in the life of people by what you say. Or you can destroy people with it. You see, all these people aren't paying attention to what I say. Well, most of the time that's true. You know, most of the time they don't. It's like going to the pistol range with your pistol. You're just wasting bullets. Maybe if you enjoy that, you're having fun. But if you use that same pistol and aim it towards somebody's head, you can take their life. If it hits them in the lower back, you can paralyze them for life. The same gun that was fun to go to the pistol range and practice. The same gun that in years past people used to kill animals for food that they could eat. That same thing that was used for good to provide food can be used to destroy people. Your tongue has the potential of either good or bad. You decide how you're going to use it. It's hard to control it. It gets completely out of hand. It is hard to control it. And sometimes, you misuse it when you didn't intend to misuse it. You say something that you had no intention of that hurting somebody, and it destroyed them. Let me tell you why I'm not a great singer right now. Some of you think the reason I'm not a great singer is because I can't sing. But that's not everything to do with it. When I was a little kid in elementary school, I was involved in a play in elementary school and I really got involved in it. I mean, I was playing my part. And the part of it, I was shutting my eyes and really getting involved. And the teacher said, Lee, you don't have to shut your eyes. Just act normal. And I never wanted to have been in a place since. Not ever. They have drama and said, Lee, you want to have a part? I said, nope, don't want to do it. Just a very few words 50 years ago hurt me. He said, Lee, you're just too sensitive. Most of you have been hurt just as bad by something somebody said. And changed your whole life on what you wanted to do because somebody discouraged you. Let me tell you why I'm a preacher. I think I'm a preacher because I believe God called me to preach. And I fought that for 7 years. Because I knew for sure God didn't want to use me. There's no way God would use me. I just, the wrong person. I know you not mean that. I must misunderstood what you're leading me to do. I know it's not me. For 7 years I fought that. But during those 7 years, my home preacher would allow me to preach sometimes. And my home preacher allowed me to be his co-teacher in an adult Sunday school class of about 70 people. The senior citizens. I don't know what we call them, but that's what they were, the elder people. And almost every time I preached and almost every time I taught, it's no telling how many of those older people came and encouraged me and told me how much they enjoyed the lesson and how much it meant to them. As I look back now, that's probably not true at all, but boy, it made a difference in my life because they encouraged me. Words can be used to help people. Words can be used to destroy people. Most of the words we used are wasted. They really are. They don't make any difference. They don't help people. They don't hurt people. You just don't know which ones are going to hurt or help. You know, J.C. Penney one time said, one half of my advertising budget is wasted. I just don't know which half. Notice he understood that many of the things that he advertised went out there and it had no effect on anybody. But he didn't know when that was going to be true. And the things you say, most of it is just wasted. It never makes any impression, good or bad. But you don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when you're going to encourage the young people in our church and say something good about what they're doing that'll make a difference in their life or destroy their life. You don't know. You may plan to say, I'm going to go and encourage that person because I want to help that person. And you go and speak all kind of words of encouragement. It doesn't help at all. But then they heard you around the corner and said, that is the sorriest song I've ever heard in my life. And you destroy them. Ephesians 4:29. Then we're going to quit. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let me paraphrase it. Don't ever use words to tear down. Always use words to build up. Don't ever use words. Don't use any unwholesome, unhealthy words that destroy people. Use words that will build them up. How you doing? How about in your relationship with your children? Have you encouraged them or discouraged them? How about in your relationship with your husband or your wife? Do you encourage them or discourage them? You know, as a joke that you've probably heard me tell about the preacher's wife saying, "Lord, if you'll keep him broke, I'll keep him humble." And so she feels like it her obligation to tell me all the things I do wrong. And she thinks that's her job. Words are very, very powerful. Be careful how you use them. Words can be very powerful. Be careful how you use them.